Thanks, Pastor Emma. Awesome. Well, you've probably noticed that there's four different people and not me preaching the next few weeks. So that means Nigel's going on holidays. So actually, Andrew and I are moving into our new house, hopefully this week. So can you, everyone, please, when you see Andrea, tell her this is the last house we're building. Six times I've built with Andrea. Either, and I'm kind of like, I've had enough. Anyway, so I'd like a bit of divine intervention so our windows get fixed so we can move in later this week. So if you're up for that, I'd appreciate your prayers. So that's just a side note. Quite a few people away on leave, so that's good. People like having good holidays. And those of you who come to church on the long weekend, turn to your neighbour and say, "I'm so glad you're here." Louis, I'm so glad you're here. Look at him at the back there, on his little lonesome, on the service team, looking around, making sure everyone's behaving themselves. So, all right. You know, I reckon I could get you out all early. Who'd like that? Yeah. So, well, looking at the time, I think we'll no problems at all. I very rarely speak more than 30 minutes, so let's do it, hey? Proverbs 4, let's go there. Proverbs 4, we've been doing a series, or I have, on wisdom, and I know Barry's either started or have been doing a series on wisdom as well down at Wellard. And so for those of you who haven't been around, the first week I talked about true wisdom from the book of Proverbs. Last week, training in wisdom. You can look at these on the website, c3f.com. You'll find them all there. And today I would like to talk to you about the wellspring of wisdom. The wellspring of wisdom. So this is the final one. In Proverbs 4, who knows, I said also just a bit of a recap. You can't take one proverb. You've got to put a lot together because then it makes a lot. You're like one proverb. There's always more. So this is not just about looking at one proverb and think you've got it worked out. But together, they make a lot of sense. And so there's a lot of stuff on wisdom, particularly in the first eight or so chapters in Proverbs. And so I would like us to go to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 11. The wellspring of wisdom, I've called it. I have taught you, this is the New King James Version, in the way of wisdom. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble. Does that sound familiar? So Isaiah 40, 31 right there. Take firm hold of my instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they do not sleep unless they have done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is like the shining sun. Any people like to be like the shining sun here today? That's the way to go. And to verse 19, that shines ever brighter until the perfect day. And the way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. And then verse 20, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Okay, that'll do for now. I'll say a few more verses as we go along. So we have defined wisdom as competence in regard to the complexities and realities of life. Who knows that life has curveballs? It's not always easy. It's not always easy to know which road to take or which decision to make. And so it's good to have wisdom. And so wisdom is far more than just having even moral values. I talked last week a little bit more about moral values. But 80% of life, truth be told, is about not moral stuff. It's about actually making decisions that are going to be good decisions for us. And so it's our ongoing relationship with Jesus that will help us. And it is our relationship with others where we can speak the truth in love that will keep us to stay in the faith as well. And the Word of God close to our hearts, when the Word of God is close to our hearts, we will make good choices. So, wisdom is knowing what the right thing to do is, and when the moral values don't apply, still making great decisions. And you and I can have right intentions by thinking we are helping somebody, for instance, out of poverty. And we have a great Leap into Spring program. For those of you who weren't here last week, we've now raised over $100,345 for our Leap into Spring. So, well done, church. Give yourselves a clap. Yeah. And let's thank God for giving us, you know, so good. The reason I'm saying that, I was reading some stuff, and there's this church in the USA. You know, you can think you're helping someone and it can have the reverse effect. And I'm sure there's many churches like this, and we've done it ourselves on occasion in a smaller way. But I've read of a church in the US who determined that the best course of action for the village they were connected with in the mission field in a developing country was to ship a sawmill over to the village, set it up, show them how to use it, and then off they go again, the Westerners, back to the US. And the same church then went back on another missions trip a year later to find that the sawmill was no longer in use and that many of its parts were in disrepair. Rust was appearing, and most of the people they had been working on the sawmill had abandoned the area. It's okay from a Western mindset to think we're doing the right thing, but the reality may be quite different. And there were some of the things that they obviously didn't think through. There were no spare parts readily available. It was right in the middle of the jungle, and they couldn't get them there. And who was going to pay for them? There was no skilled people anywhere to be found to help keep the mill operating properly, and the village did not have the skill set to market their wood. And they simply had a desire to help one another, so once the machine broke down, they went back to what they knew, which was subsistence farming. The most right and virtuous deed done at the wrong time or in the wrong way can blow up everything. And so there are questions that run through, or they run through my mind, I'm sure they run through yours as well. Do I say something to that person who's ever thought, should I say something or should I hold back? Do I act or do I stay put? And unless you and I get wisdom, we will sink and the people around us will sink. So wisdom is not a technique. Turn to your neighbour and say, wisdom is not a technique. It is the character of our mind and heart to make good choices. The character of our mind and heart to make good choices. So how do we make good choices? Proverbs 4. And we will look at the development of wisdom, the origin of wisdom, and the transformation through wisdom, which is his wellspring. So first, the development of wisdom. Verse 11, I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. We talked about that last week. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. Who'd like to walk and not be hindered? Come on. And when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. And it goes on. You can read right through to 19. I've already read the passage. Many years ago, my friend who's here, I think he's here somewhere. He was singing, Dom Sinek, where are you? Give me a wave. There he is. He's very small handshake, a very small wave, but anyway. So long time ago now, must have been, it doesn't matter, but very long time ago, Dom and I did some scuba diver training. And what we had to do on this particular exercise was to navigate underwater to a certain marker, and we were in a harbour. And on this particular day, the harbour was extremely murky. and you could hardly see in front of you, and we had to use our compass, which we could hardly see because it was so murky, to direct us in a straight path. That was the plan. That's what the instructor said. I want you to, Nigel and Dom, I want you're the, you're, you know, you should know because we're the mature ones in the group. You should go straight to that mark and a straight come back. And so on top of that, Dom reminded me this morning that it was nighttime when we did this, and we had glow sticks on our tanks. They were green or yellow, and they were glowing. The problem was when Dom and I got into the water and got to the bottom so we could actually traverse to the point, we couldn't see the glow sticks. It was that bad. The visibility was almost nil. We could hardly see our hands in front of us. And the only way to know where each other was to actually almost like hold hands. Well, hold arms anyway, and bump into each other, because otherwise we weren't going to be able to get there. So I'm okay with natural navigation when I can see something in the water but this was nighttime. It's very, very murky, and we can't see each other, let alone our compasses, that well. And we thought, well, we'll just swim. And we'll go to the point where he's asked us to go, across near the other side of the channel. And when we think we're there, we'll pop up and then we'll just come back again. And so we thought we'd almost got there. So we kind of felt what one another and popped up, but we hadn't even gone in that direction. We'd gone over there. And we realised, okay, so now we have to go back down again and try and head that. So we popped up again thinking we must be there now. No, we'd actually gone a different direction again. And we were zigzagging through the harbour until we got to our destination. And then we zigzagged all the way back again because we could not keep a straight line. And we kept popping up all the time because we needed to see where we were going. In part one of this series, I mentioned that life is messy. And we can think we are tracking well, and then something comes up that is unexpectedly shakes us up. And it, like the water, it's murky, and life can be like that at times. And so even though Dom and I went off course multiple times, we kept popping up to the surface and realizing where our destination was. Living life is like walking a path. It is progress step by step. It is daily activities. It is the small things. Every day, the steps take you somewhere where you weren't before. And so freedom for our lives is when we keep popping up. I'm here, Lord. And we see where we need to go. When we get caught in the murkiness of life and we don't allow ourselves to pop up and say, hello, God, we get stuck in the problem, we get stuck in all the issues of life, then we actually find ourselves slipping into an area that is unwise. And so who'd like to be wiser today? And so the Word of God helps us. A man told this story from prison. When he was young, a young boy, he took a watch from his dad, but he dropped it on the ground and the watch cracked and broke. He put the watch back in the drawer. His father called a family meeting. All the kids were gathered around, and he said, he held up the watch and he said, who did this? The man never owned up, or the boy at that time. Many years later, the man was driving his car on a very dark road and he ran over a person. In an instant, he fled the scene. He got home, knew what he should have done, but was too afraid. The man said in an interview from prison years later that what fixed his destiny was not the decision made on the road that dark night, it was the little decisions he had made, been making for years and years. He did what he had become. Do not walk in the way of evil. Do not enter the path of the wicked. It's a choice we make. And the little choices add up one way or the other. And so 4:16, their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. When people say incorrect or hurtful things about you, you have a choice to disparage them, to actually take a grudge, I guess, to scheme a plan of revenge, to harbour that resentment. All of these things will lead to bitterness at some point in your life. And so you can simply choose to give the situation over to the Lord. You can pop up and say, God, I don't know why these people are doing this to me, but I'm going to give it over to you. Does that sound like a wise plan? Yeah, it sounds like the Bible to me. And so God's word helps us. And if it's necessary, who knows that sometimes we need help. We can't do life on our own. We need to go to someone. We need to talk it through and actually get some healing possibly. And so friends help us. It's so good that we have the church to keep us on the right track. And so what about when someone is seemingly doing better than you are? Has anyone ever felt, well, why? How did that happen to them? Someone has more money than you. Someone has more of something than you, whatever it is. If there is any person or any group that you would like to see brought down, you might be on this path. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Come on, we've all had these thoughts, right? Yeah. Come on, try to be real here. Come on. I'm I preaching to myself here? You know. Sometimes I walk out of the car park and I think, how did they get that nice car? We all have these thoughts. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We bless those people in Jesus' name. If we do not give these situations and people over to the Lord, we are preferring to be self-absorbed. And I don't think we recognize that often, but it's actually being self-absorbed. How dare they? I'm as good as them. What right do they have? And comparison is a depressing road to walk along. And depending on your personality, you're going to be filled with either self-pity or ego. And whether it is self-pity or ego, you are in murky waters. And we must determine to pop out of there and say, Lord, I need your help. And focus on the path to life. Proverbs 4:19, the way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. They do not know. They have become out of touch with reality. Can we stay in touch with reality, church? Can we stay in touch with, you know, and people, we're all going to mess up with people in the church at times, but as long as we can just keep a clean heart, as long as we can decide, like Steve said earlier this year, our overseer at a team meeting, live above offense. Don't let the offense upset your heart. Allow yourself to say, God, I'm giving this over to you. That's wisdom, right? Because otherwise you end up hurting yourself as well as others. And so we are likely to make choices that hurt ourselves and others around us when we have a less accurate view of other people. Who knows that when we look at it from our eyes, it's always going to be a less accurate view? And so we have choices. Every time something good happens in your life, who's had something good happen in their life this week? Come on, give me a wave. Who's had something good happen in your life? You know, oh, so good. Everyone's got something that they've got that's good in their life. You know, I was at, where was I the other day? And I thought, this is so good. Oh, at the wedding, BB and remind me? Ruth, wasn't it? BB and Ruth. And it was so good watching the wedding. they turned up in this huge big car for all the non-African people that weren't able to make it. I've never seen a car quite as large. I thought, that's so cool. And I thought, that's so African. Right? That's right, eh, Alan? And, but it was such good time. And we were at the registrar for the government, and the registrar says, is Pastor Nigel here? It took me off guard because I was just there to watch. And he goes, would you like to say a few words? Well, I thought, this is an opportunity. Anyway, we just had a little positive moment with the bride and groom. You know, so good when we honour God. And honour God with our relationships, our marriages. And so the other way to do it is every time that you're not positive or you're not being thankful for something or you're not being thankful to God, what actually happens is resentment builds up in your heart. And it's a bit subtle at first, but resentment builds up. And then you're on a bit of a downward spiral. Something good happens in your life. Can we determine today, church, to pop up and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. When we wake up in the morning, thank you, Lord. When we go to bed at night, thank you, Lord. Every time you get into conflict and you rationalize, you defend yourself, but actually you are in the wrong, but you want to shift the blame. You're back in murky waters, and it's all because we have an addiction to self. God took the self out of our life. We've got to choose to live with him. And so that's first one. Secondly, the origin of wisdom. No one, this is C.S. Lewis, I've got a few quotes from him. No one spends an eternity away from the presence of God except people who choose it. Wow. He writes this, Christianity asserts that we are all going on forever. This must be either true or false. There would be a good many things not worth bothering about if I were going to live for only 80 years or so. But I had better bother about it if I'm going to live forever. Maybe my bad temper and my jealousy are slowly getting worse, but it's so gradual in my lifetime, it's hardly noticeable. But it might be very noticeable in a million years or so. In fact, if Christianity is true, then hell is precisely the correct technical term for it. It is not a question of God sending people to hell. In every one of us, there is something growing up which will be hell unless it is nipped in the bud. And so it is our own choice to prefer these kind of conditions rather than choosing something bigger than ourselves. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Is anyone grateful for their relationship with God today? And as we look at this Proverbs, it's just quite remarkable, some of the things that are in there and the wisdom that comes from God. So let me ask you a question. Will you allow room in your life for God? Will you pop up from the murky waters of life and give him some praise? Give him some honor and thank him for who he is in your life. It's a choice we make every day. It's the little things that add up. It's the little things that add up. Proverbs 4:1, very start of the chapter. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. And Proverbs 4:4 says, let your heart retain my words. Let your heart retain my words. That's deep. That's not just a casual glance. That's actually allowing the word of God to get into our spirits. Above all, put my words in your heart, Lord, in my heart, Lord. You and I are kidding ourselves if we think we can simply change our life by working on our will. It's not our will alone that's going to change our life. It's the reason Jesus Christ came. And we need a relationship with the Lord to make good choices. Our will is not strong enough. It's why Jesus came in the first place. Lastly, the wellspring of wisdom. Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. So, a spring is not a pool. A spring gushes up. A spring has its own life to it. And so, how you do life depends on your heart. And the Bible says that the heart is the wellspring of life. So, Lord, right here, right now, come on, let's just pray for a second. Right here, right now, I pray that you would help me. Let's just personalize this. You would help me, Lord, to have the right heart, that I would be able to absorb your words and meditate on your word, that I may have a wellspring that flows up so that when decisions are made, small or large, I have your wisdom. People of God said. So Proverbs 4:25, let your eyes look straight ahead. Let your eyes look where? And your eyelids look right before you. That's an interesting, isn't it? I think if your eyes, your eyelids. Anyway, they're basically he's making a double point. Keep straight. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. So everything flows from the heart. So your heart is what you believe you must have in order to receive life joyfully. If I had that, then I would know that I am a somebody. If I had that job, then I would know that I've made it. Every time we do this, we are looking for glory. So let me ask a question. What does your heart look to? The way you act, the way you think, has everything to do with wisdom. Whatever your heart has decided is its ultimate love determines all the ways in which you make choices in your life. The ultimate love of your heart spins out of choices. If your focus is money, you choose certain jobs. And in order to have stuff, you may even extend yourself financially. And maybe even do dishonest things to keep it up because you just have a desire to have more stuff. Your focus is on money or wealth or status or having things. If your focus is Mr. and Mrs. Right, having Mr. or Mrs. Right, you will either be way too picky or too desperate to choose the right one. And the most important thing is your children, you will either overcorrect or undercorrect. And most important thing is your career. You will overwork and then you will underperform in your relationships. And who knows that once that happens, everything's going pear-shaped anyway. So who'd like to have more wisdom in their life? Can I have the music team to come up, please? So just before we close the service today, if anything but God is the main love of your heart, the Bible says you will be a fool. If God is more important than money, then he will help you make great financial decisions. Is anyone glad they've got God on their side? If God is more important than your children, as important as your children are, then he will help you make great choices for your kids. If God is more important than your marriage, he will help you make great choices on who to marry and how to stay married. If God is more important, then we need to give him some honor today. Can we stand to our feet, church? You see, there will be a murkiness of life that leads to darkness and no way up. Church, can we be a church that keeps popping up and saying, Lord, direct me. Lord, help me. Help me in this murkiness of life. Proverbs 4:18, the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter until the perfect day. Keep pursuing the path of the gospel. Can we pray today? Bow our heads and close our eyes. Lord, I thank you that you are the way, the truth, and the life. And I thank you for this incredible book of Proverbs that we have shared these last 3 weeks. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be wise and make good decisions. Lord, I pray that each and every one of us will pop up through the murkiness of life and allow you into our hearts that we would make great decisions and right choices and live a life that is based in who you are. We would have a relationship in you. Maybe you're here today and you haven't made a decision for Jesus and allowed him to have right place in your heart. Before we close, I would like to invite you to make a decision to invite Jesus into your life. Maybe today you've allowed other things to get in the way of the true wisdom, the wellspring of life that comes from the Word of God and having a relationship with him, and you've been away from him. I want for you too to make right today and give him lordship again of your life. And so can we pray this prayer together? And I think on a day where we're talking about wisdom, it's good for all of us to pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for your love. I thank you you died for me. Come into my heart afresh. Right here, right now. Forgive me of my sin. I turn to you. Take leadership of my life today. In Jesus' precious name. I repent of my past. Set me free by your love. Thank you, Lord. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, those of you here today that have not prayed a prayer like that before and you'd like to this morning, while every other head is bowed, can I just ask you, just raise your hand and say, yeah, that's me. Pray for me, Pastor. Finalize the deal. Yep, that's me. Just give me a wave. I'll see it and you can pop your hand down again. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. For those of you today that would like to recommit your life and say, you know what, I haven't really been following the ways of God. I've been a little off track. I've got a bit murky with my walk with God. Can I ask that you just make right today with him? And if that's you, would you just raise your hand? I'll see it and you can pop it down again. Those of you here, yeah, that's me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you that you are the wellspring of life. And we pray today. Why don't we put our hands on our hearts? Lord God, we thank you for who you are. And we pray that there would be a power that comes into our life that no other thing can produce, no other thing can do for us. It comes through your word. It comes through your power, your spirit in our life. And it comes through having a relationship with you. And we commit to you afresh as a church today in the mighty name of Jesus. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. Let's sing a song before we close our service. God bless you. If you'd like some prayer, please come forward.